Good evening.
Good evening.
If you would, let's all rise and get your book. And I know one of the favorite words of Pastor Gordon and his wife Othello is faithful and faithfulness. So we're going to open up with Great Is Thy Faithfulness, number 58. Miss Othello will. Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and star in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you. You may be seated.
That's a favorite hymn, isn't it?
Amen.
Great is Thy faithfulness. And really, that is such a theme throughout all of Scripture, is the faithfulness of God. Though every man be found a liar, God is true. We begin to realize how important fidelity is. In fact, Scripture tells us that you shouldn't train men that aren't faithful. Look for faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And it seems to be that key factor in any relationship. What's interesting throughout Scripture is that there is this wonderful parallel between the relationship that a husband and wife have to God's love for us. And God kind of invented that whole thing of marriage, according to Ephesians chapter 5. So that we might be able to comprehend just how much He does love us and the very fact that He's willing to sacrifice for us. So as you go through Scripture, whether it's in Hosea or whether you go into the book of Jeremiah or Isaiah, it's really about the fidelity and about the relationship between the husband and the wife and that picture of God loving us. I guess we're making adjustments here. So as we're here tonight, in a way, I guess we are celebrating 70 years of marriage. But, you know, there'd be no way that they could celebrate 70 years if God didn't let them live that long. And we're ultimately really celebrating the faithfulness of God in our lives. And so as Dad and I have talked, certainly this is just praise to God for, I mean, the spirit of faithfulness, who could have it unless the Spirit of God comes within our hearts and changes us? And, you know, I think one of the things that really drew me to want to have a closer relationship with the Lord is the fact that I saw that fidelity through the years and that faithfulness that God had implanted in my parents towards one another, but more than that, towards the Lord. And it's that faithfulness that caused them to be close to one another. So Dad has a lot of things to share. I know you kind of want to walk us through some of your earlier days. You have a pretty good memory. How come you have such a good memory?
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you're right there. You have the mic on. You can talk to me.
I will. But
okay, I'm just going to let you.
We're going to be very relaxed tonight and going to share a lot of things. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how I got so old so quick, you know. And it just seems like 70 years have gone by so quickly. And we'd like to share a little bit about that after a bit. But first of all, I'd like to give a thank you. Thank you to our family, to Gary and Connie, for opening up their home to homeless people. we sold our home this year, and they have given us a wonderful place to stay, and we're very, very grateful. It takes on, they're taking a lot of responsibility, you know, making sure we have meals, and Connie talks to Walmart and all these sort of things, and going to the doctor, and just a lot of things that need to be taken care of, and we really appreciate that so very, very much. And we wouldn't be here on Sunday if it was not for Jeremiah and Sarah. And Jeremiah comes back with the car after the first service and picks us up. And thank you so much for doing that as well. And it's wonderful to be able to have a grandson close by. Actually, our granddaughter is in town tonight. I think they're coming today. Are they? Or no, they're not going to be able to make it. But Jessica is here as well. But I want to thank also the church family. You have certainly blessed us with so many ways. I'm not going to try to mention all the different ways. It was interesting, Dave and Diane were over the other night and they fixed something for us. Diane did. She has given us pictures before and so forth. But they were mentioning that they came up to our home in North Carolina 30 years ago. In 1991, and there were several, I think Sonny and, where's Sonny? Were you there as well? And I think there were some other couples that came at that time. We'll mention a little bit more about that. But that's amazing. Some of the folks we've known here for a good many years, and we're grateful for that. Thank you for all the food different ones have fixed and sent over. We really appreciate it. You've got a lot of good cooks in this church, and I know that's true. Kim has helped us with the shower for Othella, and we have so many other areas as well that have been given to us, and we're grateful. We really are grateful for every one of them. And the purpose tonight is really to glorify God. We're two sinners that are saved by grace, and God, by his mercy, has allowed us to serve him, given us the privilege to serve him. He could do it all without us. He allows us to be a part of his ministry, and so we're grateful for that. And we want to give him the glory today. I think of the song written, My Tribute, the praise to God, you know. And I know you're going through the Psalms right now. When you come to the last five Psalms, it starts out, hallelujah, and it ends every Psalm with hallelujah, praise God, praise to the Lord. And then it ends that way. And the other night I was trying to go to sleep, and I was thinking of all the different ways that we're to praise God. He speaks of the mountains that praise him, and everywhere you look, the birds sing and they praise him, and the flowers, everywhere you see the praise that goes back to God, the Creator, the Savior that has saved us from our sin and given us a place in heaven. And heaven becomes more real every day when you get 93 and 94, and that's what we are right now. So we're looking forward to that one day that we'll be with him. Othello's not feeling well, but I am so great. Every morning I tell her, I love you, and I think I've done that for 70 years, just about. She has written quite a lot of songs, and one of them was written on our 25th anniversary. It's called Committed. It was sung at our daughter's wedding, and it has been going over in my mind since we've been gotten it out again. She's written probably about 25 different songs. One of them is, I Have No Greater Joy Than to Know My Children Walk in Truth. That's a beautiful little chorus that she wrote. Different ones, like another one is in relationship to prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And actually the mission that we were with has taken that as a song that they sing almost regularly down at Sebring, Florida, in the SIM family down there. But I'd like to try to sing tonight, Committed, Forevermore My Love. As for God, his way is perfect, and he gave me you. He drew us with sweet cords of love and tied our hearts to his. I cannot, dare not, will not break God's sacred, holy, chosen way. Two lives made one to show his perfect will. Committed, committed, forevermore my love, and this vow is made in heaven above. How many ways do I love thee, so many I can see. For all your caring, giving, sharing, and your faith in me. As you are, I love you so, and I will pray and help you grow, that all your heart's desires and dreams you'll know. Committed, committed, forevermore my love, and this vow is sealed in heaven above. And that's one she wrote on the 25th anniversary for me. And as I said, it's been going over in my mind a lot in the last few days especially. But God has blessed us immeasurably. And not that we haven't had difficult times and so forth, but as I look back, I marvel at his kindness and his grace toward us. I'd like to do a couple things tonight, and my wife has told me, don't speak too long. It's sort of dangerous to turn a preacher loose, you know. But I want to share very briefly, obviously 70 years to put in a few minutes is very difficult, but I'm going to try to do that to begin with. And then I would like to, I'm giving you the outline of what I'm going to try to do. Gary has asked us to share what has made our marriage special and how God has blessed us and why we think there have been some things special that God has given to us because we have tried to honor Him. And I'm not sure if, Othello, are you feeling up to telling how we met or and how the beginning? Can you do any of that? No. We're going to start really basically with 70 years, but I want to go back to how God brought us together. We both went to Bob Jones University, and really she would not have been at the school at the last semester there had it been for simply the obedience of God to your life, because there was an all-night prayer meeting which God spoke to you and told you to go back and go to school and so forth at that time. And thick-headed me, he was a Yankee coming down, and I needed some God's clear guidance of the right one for my life. And at that time, we were meeting at tables and different ones, and since I was a senior at that time, I was the head of it, and she would ask for the pepper and so forth. So I said, well, is there any other kind? And she said, well, I'm going to teach this Yankee something. There are a lot of different kinds of pepper. So what does she do? She wraps up some pepper in a little box and sends it over to my dormitory and with a little note. And that started things off. Then I said, can I walk you home to the dorm? She said, okay, that'd be fine. And so that was the very beginning of how God brought us, and I never could have found her if it had not been for God's direction and bringing her into my life. And the more I got to know her, the more I was so grateful that God led me, because she had brought her dad to a meeting that helped him to come to know Christ, and she led her brother to the Lord, and she was active in the Christian youth group in her home, and she had played the piano for all different kinds of things and so forth. And she had a great love for Christ. She had played for some of the meetings. People probably don't know some of the leaders at that time, but God had used her in a great way. You know, after our marriage, and we were married in North Carolina, she's from Hendersonville. And it's interesting, Jessica's not here tonight, but it's the very church that she worked at for a little while later on in the caring for the children there. But my father and mother and my sister and brother-in-law drove in from California. My father was had the vows in the preacher for us at that time. My sister played the organ and my brother-in-law sang and so forth. And we gathered the gladiolas from the, somebody allowed us to go out in the fields and pick the gladiolas. And so we picked the gladiolas for the church at that time. And after our marriage, I went to Miami. That was a bad time, August 4th. And they didn't have air conditioning. They said, well, it's cool. The breezes come in and so forth. That was not quite true, but anyway. And the year before, I had been with, it was a year between, we were engaged actually 15 months. I had been in meetings with my friend Don Mickey, and up in Canada, was in New Brunswick, Canada for part of that time. And we had seen a lot of people, 50 people came to know the Lord that one summer in rural churches that were closed. And we came and we saw more dogs and farmhouses and so forth, but they hadn't had the gospel. It was a wonderful feel that God allowed us to have. So I took her back up to New Jersey where my folks were, and then all the way up to New Brunswick to see some of the folks that we had been with, and then came back to our first church in Flemingsburg, Kentucky. And I had never been there before. Well, I think I must have been there one time before because I had candidated there. But the church there, we were coming in August, and they were trying to find a place for us to stay. It was a very old church, but it was a small church. I think we had about 50 people in the church. And so they found a garage apartment, and everything we owned was in the car, and we didn't own the car. So so different people gave us some different things, and we found different things to put together. And they said, would you like to teach school? Well, the salary was $75 every 2 weeks, and I thought that might be a help if I could teach for a little bit. So I taught for the 2 years that we were there, and God opened many doors. We were able not only to be in the school, but when we had evangelistic meetings, we could bring the people to the school, and I could start every day with prayer in that school at that time. And I'm so grateful that we had so many ways that the Lord helped and blessed in that time, and we'll try to be brief as we go on. Then the first church, our first son was born in 1953. Brent was born in 1953. And then we went to a mining town in Monongah, West Virginia, near Fairmont. Actually, there's a crusade right now going on, or very soon at this time, but I think Will Graham is going to be there at Fairmont. We were right outside, but it was a mining town. Many of the people that in the church were miners. I went down in the mine several times myself. And God allowed us in that old town with the houses were company houses that were sold to the people, and they tried to fix them up the best they could. But in those 6 years they were there, our son Gary was born.
That was your favorite child.
That was a favorite child. And actually, you boys were taken in, and we had people all around the church that came to the church. And the neighbor next door had them in, and different people, and so forth. And the Lord just gave us, I think for 6 years, God gave us growth in the Sunday school, even though it was a very a church that had been sort of dead and closed in, no new houses being built or anything like that. But God allowed us those special times in there. Then we went from there, that was from 1963 to 1969. From 1969, am I got this right?
No.
1953 to 1959. Thank you. I'm jumping a little few more years than I should here. 59, then we went to Belvidere, Illinois, and it was quite different. Belvidere was a Midwest town about 60 miles northwest of Chicago, about 20 miles from Wisconsin, with wide streets, and the boys both started school there. And in a brand new school, Washington School was almost a brand new school. And the folks took us in and gave us a warm welcome, and we were really grateful. It was, got pretty cold. But let me tell you, just since we're talking about Gary here, I'll tell you a little side note here. We were at 210 West 2nd Street, and we were just right by the school, and then the main street was close by. It was a big, wide street that went right through the main part of town, but it was a safe place. You could walk and feel completely safe. But the boys went uptown, and Gary one time saw a stray dog and said, this dog needs to be in a home somewhere. It shouldn't be running loose. And so he went to the policeman and said,
I arrested the dog.
You arrested the dog and brought it. And he made the papers. He said, dum-da-dum-dum. And you know the word. So they told about Gary bringing the dog to the police station and how he had done that and so forth. But they were special times, and God allowed us to have those times. in 1963, now I'm getting right, I jumped a decade there for a while. We moved to Florida here. It was terribly hot and there wasn't air conditioning at the time. And our dog just died. So, coming to the church. But God gave us 11 years. And during that time, Connie was saved through a lady who was her Sunday school teacher by the name of Myrna Robbins. And Myrna just died about a year ago of cancer. And Shirley was saved through a five-day club. And then at the end of that time, in 1974, in April 5th, Gary was supposed to wait till he was 19 to get married. He was 19 April 3rd, and April 5th, they were married. And and the next year, 1975, our other son, Brandon Shirley, were married, and Shirley came to know the Lord through those years as well. Then we went to Grace Bible Church and established also an academy, Grace Christian Academy, which for 14 years we were there. And during that time, we had different ones. A relative, I guess indirectly, John Cummins was worked with us as a youth director for a while, and then others. And at the end of that time, Gary and Connie served as youth and Christian ed director for the last 5 years after coming back from Biola University. And in 1987, we left the church and they resigned. And in a sense, that was the push that pushed you out to start a new work. So in 1987, and through many different hearts and trials and difficulties, God has brought the church to the place it is today. So we're grateful how God led in those things. At that time, I joined SIM. That was formerly known as Sudan Interior Mission. It is now serving in mission. It's a worldwide mission organization. I became pastor at large to the mission, and so we served in various ways, and both in this country and overseas. And I was at the international pastor for Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, had a wonderful period of time there. We were in Dhaka, Bangladesh. For a period of time. We're in Khartoum, Sudan. Khartoum is a tri-city area, Omdurman, North Khartoum, and where the Blue Nile and White Nile come together. And so that was one of the first churches I served after we joined with the mission. We had been in South America. We went to Bolivia. And we could tell you a lot of stories about some of these places. One, actually, we were at Cochabamba, which is 8,000 feet high, and we went down to the jungle area, and in the little plane, which was a new tribe's plane, ice began to ice the plane, and it could have been very disastrous, and God brought us through so many different times that I won't try to try to share them tonight. But God gave us a wonderful opportunity for that from 1988 to 1996, I served with a mission. And my wife's mother was very sick, and they kept telling us she's very sick and so forth and needs help. And we came back and I realized that I could not. They were counting on us as a couple to serve in various ways. And so the last time I went to Liberia and Senegal and some of these other places, but we took her mother in from 1996 to 1999, which was actually 4 years that she was with us. And she needed a lot of care. In fact, she didn't want us to leave her. So somebody almost had to be there most all the time, but that was God's time for us to be with her. And God took her home to be with the Lord. And God put us in a great church there, a large church, which has a great missionary ministry. And God allowed me through the pastor to serve in that church afterward as a minister of visitation and in other areas as well for quite some years there. And we're really grateful for that time that we had in the church. And then at after that period of time, we had I had a prayer partner, which still we've been through for many years together, who served at the Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute, which is now Baptist College. He began to have great difficulty with his eyesight. And he said, I can't continue. I wonder if you would be willing to teach Old Testament for me at the school. And we prayed about it, and God opened the door. And so one of the 3.5 years of special blessing in my life, in my 80s, was to be at Fruitland and to see people, young people that really love the Lord and are serving God. And actually, probably a fifth of the pastors in North Carolina have come from Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute because it's been so solid as far as a Bible teaching school is concerned. But I wanted to also share today, I wanted to give you that background of our life and how God then I'm so grateful God brought us down, and Gary and Connie opened their home and allowed us to be with them during this time. We came down, as you know, for a period of time, first of all, and then came down and sold out or gave everything away, really. Sold our home there and moved here to Florida, and we're been so grateful. Through the years, we've followed you everywhere you've been, in whatever church you, wherever the church was located. Sometimes it was located in one place, and sometimes it was located in another. But it's been grateful to see how God has brought you to this place, and we've praised the Lord and prayed for you many, many times, and been part of it a little bit. Many times. And I thank Gary and Connie for opening their home and giving us a wonderful place to stay, and their care has been wonderful, and we appreciate that. I wanted to share with you a few things that I feel that blessed our relationship and our marriage through the years, and just leave them with you tonight in a special way. I think both of us really wanted the will of God for our lives. And we were willing to serve wherever God wanted us to serve. You know, when we started out, even our first church, our yearly salary was $3,000 for the year. But you know, we were grateful that God gave us an opportunity to serve. And to him be the glory. And God allowed us to see the growth through that year. And some others even go into the ministry from that little church and so forth. So we're grateful for God's leading, and the will of God has been certainly evident in our lives. And we give him all the glory and the praise because of it. And one of the things which has meant so much to us is that all through our marriage, we've had a daily prayer time. Actually, in the beginning, shortly after we began, many people began giving us requests and so forth, and so we began to have a daily time of praying for these different things. And it has developed through the years, and I'm so grateful. Anytime you want to add anything, you're sure welcome to do that. But we're grateful for that opportunity to have that prayer time every day. We look forward to it today, every time to have that time. And we pray for many of you by name. I can honestly say one reason we can remember your names as well as we do is because we do call you by name in our prayers. So you are remembered in our prayers. We've tried to show honesty and openness. We don't have any secrets toward each other. Maybe at Christmas time, but that's the only time. But otherwise, we have been open with each other. We don't have anything to hide. And there's been an honesty and openness in our relationship that has blessed our relationship. Truthful relationship, I think, is so important in a marriage, because so many people have tried to cover up different things, and that doesn't work. It comes out sooner or later. But how important it is to have the kind of relationship that you can be truthful and honest and open with everything. And there's a trust in that which has kept us informed and in relationship. Instead of having negative things of things which are wrong with the other person, we have tried to have a positive relationship of thinking of all the things which God has blessed us with. And I think almost completely it has been, I thank God because of this and this, and supported. You know, it's awful for a person to marry somebody else and then say, well, they're this, they run them down and say this bad thing about them. The greatest supporter of me is my wife, and the greatest supporter of her is me. And because we love each other and support each other, we believe in each other and support each other in every way we can. And there's that trust and relationship and a compliment and expressing and support each other in those ways. And we have been willing to express our love for each other, to tell her. I tell her every day, and it doesn't seem to get old to her. So I'm glad for that, that I love you. We start off the morning that way. And I can honestly say every day almost that I've told her and expressed that love, and then tried to show it in every way possible. Each try to be thoughtful of the other person, of what the other person needs, and she certainly has done that for me, and I've tried to do it for her as well. Unselfishness. It wasn't that I've seen sometimes, and we've done a lot of marriage counseling because of pastoring through the years. I remember one time we were dealing with a couple, and he had just gone out and bought a truck, and she was working, and she didn't even know he was buying it, and they were needing all kinds of things, and he was doing that, you know, how good it is when there is support and love of each other and thoughtfulness and helpfulness, and it is expressed of, you know, when, no matter what the meals have been, and they've been good all through the years, I don't think there's been a meal gone by that she's made that I haven't told her how good it was, how much I appreciate it. And we do appreciate. And she has been my greatest supporter. I'm so grateful for that. You know, the support of your husband and wife is so, so terribly important. Sometimes I've wondered why people marry, you know, if they're always tearing down the other person instead of really behind them and supporting them in every possible way. So we're really grateful for that. We tried to help each other. She had the gift of piano and even before we married and was very proficient. I had a sacred music degree, and I didn't do much with it afterward. And then I went on back to school and got a Bible major. I continued on to get a Bible major as well after God's calling in that field. And then later on, I got my master's degree as well and an honorary doctorate as well. But we're grateful. We have been supporters of each other in every possible way. I think another thing that has helped us, that have blessed our family, is that we've had a good relation with our family. I'm grateful. I was a Yankee, and her Southern folks adopted a Yankee and were very much supportive of me. And so I am sort of a converted Southerner now, because I've been more in the South than in the North. But I'm so grateful for her family. And as we said, we took her mother in for 4 years before she died. And I'm glad we did. It was such a joy and blessing. And you know, Gary and Connie have been such a blessing to take us in and give us such a lovely place to stay. And we really felt when we came down the first time and stayed for a little while, and they said, you need to come down and make this your home. And for a little while, we weren't sure that was the right thing to do. But then there was really the assurance that God had led us to do this. Our daughter went overseas and is in Germany now, and I noticed she would miss being here for this particular time, and we miss her as well. But we're so grateful for the willingness, and we're so grateful that we were able to take her mother into our home. And I believe that it's not true of every case, I'm sure, but I believe that God has brought great blessing because of it. Both of us love music, and even though I'm not near as gifted as she is in this area, especially it helped in the beginning. I used to play the trombone and led the music in different things and so forth. So it was good to have the background of that, and so it helped us. And in our second church, after we had the piano, and she played the piano, and then the church decided to buy a Baldwin organ, and she had never played the organ. But Fairmont State College was right close by, so she went back to college and took organ and became organist, actually not only in that church, but in some of the other churches as well. So we worked together and tried to help each other. I'm grateful for the times that we were able to have hospitality, have folks in our home. You know, in times past, when evangelists came, they didn't go to a hotel. They came to our home. And that was special, really. I'm so grateful for those times of some of the folks that God allowed us to have in our homes and blessed us in that way. I think another thing that has helped us a great deal was that we had a thankful heart. We were grateful for whatever God gave us. We didn't expect to be prima donnas, so to speak. And we were grateful for where God placed us. I could say, you know, the first place was a garage apartment. And interestingly enough, because of her piano, we hauled a piano up to that garage apartment. But the second one was a parsonage, which was really quite an old parsonage. And the furnace would blow up and smoke the whole house and so forth. And they put a new furnace in, and then they built a garage for us, and they remodeled the house for us, and then we moved. But we're grateful. We were content to where God placed us and felt that was God's particular provision for us at that time. And I can say that we did not complain, and nor I didn't have a wife that was griping and complaining about we don't have this and we don't have that. And she lived within very little narrow confines of a budget. And we were just grateful, and we loved each other, and we loved the children that God gave us. And that was special as well. And I believe one of the things was contentment of heart, that God gave us godliness with contentment is great gain. And some people are never, no matter what happens, they always want something else, and this isn't good enough, and that's not right, and so forth. And God bless us. I think something else that helped us was the listening to each other. In our prayer time, actually, before we had our prayer time, we would always have a time of discussion or opening, and she would tell me what's going on in her life or things that are special needs or whatever, and I would tell her maybe things that I wanted her to share in relationship to the church or in my own concerns or whatever. And we tried to listen and to hear what was happening in the other person's life. And I think there are many couples that never hear what the other person is saying. They don't really have a clue of what's going on in the other person and how important that is to have that kind of relationship. I believe that God blessed our lives too because we were obedient to God no matter where it was. And, you know, we did go overseas and did a lot of traveling and so forth, but then we never stayed in high-class hotels. In Khartoum, Sudan, which was one of the early places we went, it's a very Muslim country, and we got a lot of reports. I think there were some of the other missionaries were teasing us, but they let us know that it was hot temperatures there, 120 degrees to be exact, and no air conditioning. And so we were on the second floor, and they said, you'll probably have to move your little cots out on the decking there because it'll be too hot in the room. And they were right. But we laughed and got outside, and you know, we can look back and say they were precious years. We had Bible studies all over Khartoum and different groups, and God gave us special times. In Addis Ababa, I was pastor of the International Church. We had 500 people coming in for three services, and they would fill up solidly. Then I was able to go down to the Beni, and it was after the Ethiopians, the Italians had invaded Ethiopia. And the communists had taken over for a while and had burned a lot of the churches. And so we were able to minister to the people, and the people came and sat all day long, all the pastors and different ones. And that was special memories that we have, that God allowed us to have. But our place there was in the attic of an old building. And the shower, I think I told Gary the other day, was on the second floor. We were on the third floor, and it was the end of the hall, and most of the time there wasn't hot water. But you know, more than that, God was good to us, and we could see the blessings of God, and we didn't measure on the fact that there was no hot water. There was a lot of other things that were much more important than that. And I think it is a good lesson for us to continue to remember of that, to remember and praise God and be content with God's leading in our lives. And God has blessed us in so many ways. There are many other things I could say. I want to share a few things to the church as well. I said don't be too lengthy here. I think another thing is in our own home, we didn't go to bed with problems that were not resolved. when there were things, and I had to say at times, Othello, please forgive me. I had a wrong attitude. I shouldn't have said that. And I don't think we ever went to bed before we got things straightened out. And we had a peaceful relationship. I remember different people coming over, you know, when you had some of the boys come over and said, boy, your home is so peaceful here. I guess there are a lot of homes where they're fighting each other all the time and so forth. I like to come into your home because it's a peaceful home. And we were grateful. And I would say one of the things is that there was no unresolved. We tried to serve others. There's just a few things, and I'll be very brief here, that he, you know, we sent out a letter shortly at the 70th, and to the advice of Othello, she said, why don't we send a letter to the various places we have served and encourage them? And we wanted to encourage them to honor Christ, to preach the gospel, and to preach the word. And those three things primarily were in each of the letter. Connie helped type them up in each case. Then I gave a portion of scripture, which I'm going to give a part of that scripture to you tonight. But I would like to say to the church, keep loving the Lord, first of all. Keep loving the Lord. You know, the Bible starts out and he says, the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And if we're going to love others, you have to love him. The only way you can really love others the way you ought to is to love him. And then it will spill over. It will prove itself by your love to others. And so I think of that the greatest commandment is to that the greatest proof of the Christian is by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. One of the greatest gift is the gift of love, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and actually all the rest of them are concisely in that very first word, love. Love each other. Well, I think one of the great things, marks of Family Bible Church is the love for each other, and it's because of the Word of God that's been preached here, and I know that Gary and Connie have set a good pattern, and the other ones that have come in elders have joined in that way as well. But keep on loving each other. Don't let anything mar that relationship. And believe me, Satan wants to do that. He wants to get in it somehow or other and cause a disturbance if he can. And he has done that in a lot of places and a lot of situations. I wish I didn't even think about concerning that. Love the lost. Love the lost. We're living in a day which is close to what I believe is the return of Christ. And this may be some final opportunities to love the lost, people that are very unlovely, hateful, mean, nasty, so forth. But they need Christ. That's why they're that way. And you need to love them. And so I would urge you to love them. Exalt Christ. Preach the word, strengthen the last one is to strengthen families. I believe in families so very much. We put in the letter from Philippians 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all, in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to leave just these, I won't try to quote it all, but in verses 9 through 11, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." You know, God allowed us, and even from the beginning, I went through the scripture 66 times, the whole Bible. Now I'm reading primarily Proverbs and Psalms and the New Testament at the time, but I'm glad for those times of going through the entire scripture and getting a whole picture of the whole Word of God in our hearts and minds. And I think one of the things that strengthened our own marriage, obviously through the years, is the love of the Word of God. And Othello's had the love for the Word of God as well as I have, and certainly shared that love with me through all these years. I'm about through here. I better be through. It's past time. It's just 8 o'clock, though, so.
I'm
going to
get in trouble for doing this. Do you remember us talking the other day? Dad had mentioned that it was kind of your idea, one of the ways to celebrate, you know, this anniversary was to encourage churches. I remember me saying, "Okay, so what would you say to our church?" And do you remember what you said? Or, well, what would you say? Well, how would you encourage us?
He's asking something.
I know.
How would I encourage you?
Yeah, encourage this church.
I would encourage you to keep looking up.
Keep looking up?
Keep looking up. Keep trusting the Lord no matter what. And what Gordon said, love one another. And I tell you, you're a wonderful church. And we're so happy to be here. And I've seen unselfishness and the love of the Word. And support your pastor. And just look for something to do for the Lord. Don't expect to be sitting around. Well, if I'm asked, I'll do this. But look for his leading and serve small things and bigger things if God gives you those. What else did you want me to? I have a bad throat, and it's terrible for a woman not to be able to talk. It's just awful. But.
I was wondering, did Dad get that story right with the pepper? Did Dad?
Not exactly.
No, I she does it much better than I do.
He was a bit cantankerous or something?
No. I was returning to college, and he was the head of my table, and so he kept asking, "Please pass the pepper," and I was down at the other end, so I wondered, what is wrong with that fellow? No, what other kind of pepper is there, and all that kind of stuff that he's mentioned. And so he did that for a few days when we'd have meals, so I thought, I've got an idea. I went out and I bought a box of pepper and tied a red ribbon around it, sent it over to his dormitory. That did it, girls. But he wanted to walk me back to my dorm, and that's when I saw a kindness and a gentleness, and I liked him. Hmm. And that's the way we met, but it was my joy to send him that black pepper.
So you decided to stick with him?
Yes, and I wrote, there's green pepper, there's red pepper, no, a kind of pepper. But I have pepper in my kitchen because I love it. But we're so happy to be here with you. And I sat in terrible, forgive me, but I would like to have said a lot more. But I'll be talking in the future.
Well, I know I'm going to be in trouble, but thanks, Mom, for sure.
Love you. He's wonderful. He's so good. You're so fortunate to have him as a pastor.
You know, we want to invite you for some cake, celebration cake for the 70 years. And, Dad, just thanks for sharing, and thanks for being with us and being a part of our lives and supporting and caring and praying for us all. And he does. He prays for all of you guys. You're in his prayers. And you couldn't pay for that, could you? That's just a wonderful thing. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives, and thank you for being a family with us, because we feel like that. And I thought, you know, we're gonna have a cake. Why don't we just invite the whole family? So we did. And let's just close with a word of prayer. And I bet you thought I was gonna start teaching, didn't you? Why don't we close with a word of prayer? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Actually, Sonny's going to sing for us, Let All Who Come Behind Us Find Us Faithful. So you're going to need to wheel my mother back out, and Sonny's going to have his bench under there. Could you do that?
I just enjoy singing with
your
friends. Yeah. It's just a blessing.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can sing some over there while finish eating your cake before you do that. You can probably back her out so Sonny can go ahead and get his thing, and then Sonny, why don't you get ready, and I'd like to have a word of prayer with everybody, and then if we could have you sing that. And we're just going to thank the Lord for cake, but thank the Lord for the fellowship that he gives us. Well, Father, we give you thanks for this time and the celebration of faithfulness. Once again, it's you that makes us faithful. You're the one that comes within our heart, and you are the faithful God. We're really celebrating you today. If it were not for you, we would have no hope. Our lives would not be changed. But you make a difference. And that really is a testimony that we want to share tonight, is that you make all the difference in the world. And you bring us together as a household, and you make us all faithful to one another. We give you thanks for that. Bless this time together and the fellowship together. May we encourage one another, and as Dad has shared, may we love one another this time that we're together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Sonny closes in that song.
Journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness, passed on through godly life. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faith. Now, after all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sit through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
You might just mention that that was in our bulletin for our 50th, the words of that. And so we really appreciate you singing that tonight.
I was there.
Yeah.
You remember the telephone call from Billy Graham?